This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Hey guys, welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, starring the one, the only, Ramon Foster, over there in Hendersonville, Tennessee. I'm Dan Kovacevic, back in Pittsburgh after a week in Florida covering the Pirates, being perfect down there. What are you laughing about?
I'm scrolling because there's a lot of comments in here. I appreciate every single one of you guys hanging around with us. Latter part of last week was insane, but today's a special day, DK. And that's exactly where it goes. But Cat Madden, I'm canceling my subscription if this is a prank. I love that. Y'all are
We got him back. See, that's it. Greg thought the same thing here. This isn't going to be an April Fool's prank or whatever. Now, I'm not too much into that sort of thing here.
I like it every once in a while.
Do you?
Yeah. My morning show, we had people calling in with dad jokes this morning, and nobody really pranked anybody totally. But yeah, I like that type of stuff. I give days their just due at times.
That's good stuff. We have a lot of football ground to cover. Yeah. Not too much in the way of news lately, but I think one of the things that is worth bringing up this week, really, if you think about it, Moan, is where this offense is headed with the pieces that it's already acquired, yeah, as opposed to the pieces that you want to have. If you had to play a game tomorrow, and I think the Steelers are probably fortunate that they're not.
Right.
If you had to play a game tomorrow, what would that offense look like? Have you even put that into your head?
Well, without Deontay, it's a little bit different. Figuring out what George is going to do. You know what? We said all of this, and people have been missing something, DK, for like the last 3 days, man. We got to hit the bell because I was about to go and we were going to a big time moment.
No.
Yes. I was in that mode, DK, and we were about to go off. So can we hit this bell?
Yeah.
Let's hit the bell.
Yeah, we're gonna be getting to it. We have questions up about this as well here, asking about tight end roles in the Arthur Smith system,
yeah,
whether or not Darnell Washington will be asked to do more, possibly asked to do less. Who knows how that's going to go here? But what do you see, Moan? What's there?
Just on
right now.
It's gonna sound weird because it took a lot to get this to this point. It's gonna sound weird because, of course, now he's ours. But I look at this offense now, and you ask me what I expect. I expect more mobility. I expect more pocket movement because you're looking for protection. I see more sideline throws probably than we probably will expect. And I expect a lot more down the field passes too, play action. From what I remember from Arthur Smith was a consistent run game backed up by tight end play, as we speak about tight ends. I expect a – let the quarterback do his specialty. And for Russell Wilson, to me, DK, I will lay my head on the fact that this year he has to get back to football. If he's to salvage his career, the risk that he either chose not to have or the offense that Sean Payton and his staff chose not to allow him to run, I'd expect this guy to have the ability to want to throw over the middle, be a big-time leader, and be a guy that can command from our fan base and the entire NFL world that he still has it. Because here's the thing about Russell Wilson to me. I do think it should be more progressive in how this offense has passed as of late and how Russell Wilson passing game has been too, as far as efficiency of it too. Russ can pass. Russ can play. And now he's ours, right? But he's got to be ours within the Pittsburgh confines, meaning the run game will come first. Finding out if George can command the field by himself is going to be mind-blowing to me, considering you don't really have strong two and three options behind him. I think you rely on Pat and Pat Freiermuth, and I think you incorporate screen games, DK. Those are the things I've seen from Arthur Smith. But the run will come first.
Yeah, but you really triggered me here with something.
What's that?
You said you want Russ to get back to football.
I do.
Okay, that was your wording on that. And I know that's not a criticism. I know because I know the level of respect that you have for his game. So when you're saying that, what you're saying is to get back to his game. And that actually dovetails with criticism of him in Denver that he wasn't throwing across the middle, that he wasn't necessarily sacrificing himself. And then you throw in the other thing that came up in Denver, which is that obviously him and Sean Payton were just, okay. So the first thing that you want to see, you, specifically you, as a Pittsburgh Steeler, is to make sure that he's a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Facts.
And you make sure that this is, look, this isn't Denver. This isn't Sean Payton. Okay, this is what we need from you here. We need you to be the best Russell Wilson that you've been.
Because we're talking about the offense and what can we expect of the season starter right now.
Yes.
I think it's somewhat heavy reliance on the running game because Najee and Jalen have shown that they're capable of being those guys. I think you have a 1 and a 1A, essentially, with those two guys right there. It comes down to the O-line play for sure. But Russ, to be a solidified Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, that's what he's searching for. It has to start with football. It has to start with him having the ability to command a team because he lost the locker room at the end of his career or at the end of his tenure in Seattle. Same was the conversation in Denver, whether he was polarizing or not, right? And now,
regardless of whose fault it was.
But that was the conversation. That was the biggest conversation about Russell Wilson, right? Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, it's not as glitzy. You went over Pittsburgh the same way you went over the other previous football cities like Philly, like Buffalo, Chicago is searching for it, right? Those teams you think of when it boils down, Washington even, right? All that gets him on track, DK, is playing his ball. When it came down to him making plays down the field, whether he was just talking up to DK Metcalf, spend time with him. I've said this time and time again. That group offensively really have no strong vocal leaders that you can just count on. One thing about Seven was this, and I hate to keep using him as an example, but it's the freshest one we had.
Yeah.
You never doubted. Yeah, you never doubted where you stood on game day and what he was going to command of you. I don't know if you knew that from either the past quarterbacks or just the players that's on the offense in general. They're young. They're young as crap, okay? They are. They don't really – they know how to win because they got a coach that's taught them that and they've heard it and they've seen it because everybody watches the Steelers. But nobody decisively knows how to do it inside that room. And I'd say except for a guy with as much experience as a Russell Wilson. That to me – and as much as I don't want to rely on him heavy this year because it's new and there's a lot of pressure, he needs it though because this may be one of the few times where the media – not the football people. Like, we always have that conversation. No, they don't give us a whole lot of praise in Pittsburgh. You've heard us say that, right? The national narrative is, well, we win because of the defense, right? That's always been the national narrative that we've said, true or not. I've talked to other fan bases, said, Mom, stop. Y'all are always on national primetime TV, and we are. But you have a guy now that is the focal point of all things offense when it comes down to him rebuilding his career. And also helping Pittsburgh get over the top, too. You had a first-round draft pick you traded away for a bag of chips. And on top of that, you sent a wide receiver to Carolina also. So I think it does fall on Russ's shoulder. And I ain't even mentioned in Justin yet because I think Russ gets the first stab at it.
He does. And I think that's the way to look at it. Excuse me. I see a situation where Russ is going to – he's not going to feel heat as much as he will feel responsibility. if that makes sense. He's going to understand. Yeah, he's going to understand that if he were to just, not that he's this type of guy anyway, with other quarterbacks based on his history, but he's not going to be somebody who can just walk away from Justin Fields in the building. Okay. He's got to take him with him. That's got to be made clear. That's got to be understood. But I think really more than anything else here, that when you get back to what made him, this is not an exaggerated word here. In Seattle, he was great.
Yeah.
Okay. He wasn't good. He wasn't very good. He was great. And I'm saying that as somebody who hasn't been all that wild about this signing. Okay. If you bring him in to this mix and he has the desire to be great, or maybe the head coach plants a seed with him about the Hall of Fame, since you brought it up. Do you put Russell Wilson into the Hall of Fame right now? Right now, based on his career to date? Nine Pro Bowls, Super Bowl, Hall of Fame? I don't think so. Right, I don't think he crosses that line.
No.
What if he wins another one somewhere?
If he wins another, then yes. Or even now, he ain't no comeback player because heck, he was playing, right? You can't have that conversation with a dude like him. Heck, there was a guy that died. Never mind. I'm not gonna get you started. On you
there. We love you, DeMar. We do, but you are the ultimate comeback player.
So here's the thing. So I've initially said it comes down to Russell Wilson. What does it look like? It's a Russell Wilson led offense. What's the best Russ? Crossing routes, right?
Makes everybody up.
Scrambling, yes. Yep. Mixing it up. And a strong run game. That's what I'm looking for from a Russell Wilson. I think it settles
play him. Action. A lot of our viewers are mentioning play action here as well. So does Mel. There's a lot of that. It's been his signature, his trademark, really. Nice. He has that capability. But, you know, as others are going to point out here, yeah, you can be elite. Why did Seattle dump him if he was still great? Why did Denver dump him if he was still great?
Leave that. Locker room matters. Narratives. From my understanding, from talking to people on both sides of that, pro-Russ and anti-Russ, it was a lot of everything. You got to think, when Seattle won that championship, who are we mostly talking about, right? The Legion of Boom. Remember that side of their game where you couldn't run, you couldn't throw to them. It wasn't.
No,
so
it was unbelievable.
And you can ask those guys, too. They thought they deserved more credit. But what happened at around that same time? The quarterback became more and more popular. Russ just got paid, and it pretty much ruined everything in Seattle because they won on the backs of that defense and Marshawn Lynch. And it's okay to say that too, but it shouldn't have caused a rift within their locker room like that. And I think with Seattle, and with my humble opinion about Denver, I think the Waltons got ahead of themselves and saw Russ for what he had been, without knowing what Sean Payton or what kind of hires they was going to make behind the contract that they gave Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. They chose Sean Payton over Russell Wilson. Whether that be because the public narratives about Russ, or the fact that they trust Sean Payton a whole lot more and he's more sustainable as a product. I don't want to blame it all on him.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
He has to hold some responsibility. I think it was twofold in that one.
If you had a commitment, and you did do, if you're the Broncos, to a head coach and to his way of coaching and to the success that he had in New Orleans, then that's the commitment that you'll probably choose over a quarterback in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
Regardless of talent, potential, whatever, you know, and anything at all there, Seattle was ruined. I mean, you know, they did win.
Yeah, they did, and they won a lot, and they kept it for a while too. That's a weird place. Now, I'd love to see if he gives somebody a sit down to actually talk about that. DK, he can win over this Pittsburgh fan base, like DK, by going to one particular place and sitting down with somebody. You know what that is? That's here with us.
Yeah, that's right, pal. I knew you were doing that.
Do I need to have my people reach out to his, DK?
My people reach out to your people.
As long as he's not charging. I can't do the charging thing.
No, I could just chase him to that downtown place that he was eating at a couple of months ago, down the street at Redbeard's on 6th Street.
You're going to be giving away a bar that was locals. Now it's everybody's.
Yeah. Hey, Russ, got a minute? I have a camera.
That'd be cool. I may actually attempt that. I might see if I know somebody that knows his people. That way we can get a direct answer.
There you go. Well, when we come back, we're gonna end up investing some significant time into the only segment that actually matters.
And that's Hey Moan.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Yeah, it was a challenging week last week for sure. Just to run a couple of things past you here. I had to do baseball, the Pirates season opening series in Miami. It was four games, plus they had a workout the day before that I had to cover. So me and Moan were like
busy, and I had kids stuff also, man. Yeah, it was scheduling.
And you had stuff and whatever else. We will always try to make this show work. When it can, but it never comes with like some kind of ironclad promise, whatever. But I still feel like I need to say I'm sorry.
Me too, man. I'm with you on that one, DK.
You know what I'm saying? I feel so guilty.
We do, man. And I know everybody count on this. Count on us to deliver you guys the goods. I was typing in dangerous. I'm looking up something because I see a comment, DK, I want to put up for the Hey Moan segment real quick. Okay. Where was it at? It was essentially like right here. Vicious Violet. Russ needs to be elite this year. Russell last year had 3,070 yards, 66% completion rate, 26 touchdowns, and eight interceptions.
Yeah.
As it stands, right?
That's a nice year. That's not elite. That's nice.
That's nice. Elite would put him close to 4,000 yards, 3,700 yards, maybe, DK.
Maybe. That's why I'm getting – that's why I asked the question that I did at the top of the show, Moan.
Yeah.
Because what if the design for this offense doesn't involve 4,000 yards?
So that's where I want to lead to next. I think – 3,000 yards, just over 3,000 yards. If he can get 3,500, beautiful. If he can get 3,500 yards, touchdown to interception ratio is low. The thing that he has, go ahead.
And he had 340 on the ground, too, I want to mention. So there's that as well. That takes you to 4,000 out of the quarterback position.
Absolutely. He has two running backs that he can trust. He also has two tight ends. We've got numerous Hey Moans right now on the tight end conversation. Yes, Arthur Smith utilizes the heck out of the tight ends. He usually have a pass-catching one, and then he usually has a blocking one. Jonnu Smith is one of his guys that he turned into a big-time tight end free agent. I think you can see that type of motion and action right there for Pat Freiermuth, and also see him utilizing the run-blocking skills of Darnell Washington. You're almost idiotic if you don't use him. So the two tight ends.
Beyond idiotic. Yeah.
It is. The two tight end set will be huge, but it's a matter of how you will utilize your wide receivers too. When you pick and choose to go play action, I think that is a huge component of this offense. Because here's the thing about those deep play action shots too. One, the one that he continually ran with Ryan Tannehill, I don't want to see that one. Because teams have picked up on that one where he's dropped back and he's hitting that first option over the middle. I saw that one live against Cincinnati in the playoff run that they had with Arthur Smith. Not okay with that. Remember when they had the number one seed and Cincy had a party in Nashville? Remember that? I hope he's grown as an offensive coordinator with that play. But I do see him dropping back with a run game, two tight ends, faking it, and going down the field. I just hope it's more than one route. You got to have more than one wide receiver in a play action concept right there. Or at least, or at least an emergency valve somewhere.
Yeah, and that's where the subject kind of freezes into place because we are looking at, as Casey Kester brings up, what about George Pickens? Well, George right now, not being mean to anybody else who's in the wide receiver room at the moment, including Calvin Austin, who, by the way, has been that guy who takes that pass over the middle that you just described and takes off, and so has George. Deontay Johnson we saw do it for 62 yards against the Ravens in Baltimore. But George is your wide receiver right now. And if you set yourself up to be that all running offense or mostly running offense, and you say, Russ, we just want you to orchestrate this, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense either, does it?
No, it doesn't, except for the decision maker when he has to improv.
Yes, but improv is one thing, and the design of the scheme is, I feel like if I'm entering a game and I say, listen, Najee's going to get, you know, 20 touches and Jalen's going to get 18. Okay. And this is the way we're going. I know, right? And all the rest of our passes are going to be so academic, so simple, so predictable, just because we don't want to turn the ball over. Then you're wasting the asset that you just acquired. That's where I'm having a hard time with envisioning this offense with Russell Wilson. Again, not a criticism, not expressing any doubt here. I'm just saying I can't wait to bleeping see what they've come up with.
What you're saying, we don't have to be touch and go with Russ. We can actually just release him.
Play ball.
Yeah,
you play said, ball. Russ has to play football. Well, you want to get him immersed in that. You want to get him invested in it. And the way you do that is to, I'm going to say it again, be your best self. What's your best self? You tell us. What's the offense look like?
His best self is crisp passes, getting out of the pocket, getting those extra first downs that he does, having the ability to command the offense. We saw Tyler Lockett time and time again go down the field for him. And here's the other thing as it pertains to George, too. Arthur Smith's dealt with guys like this before, i.e. A.J. Brown. Corey Davis is another guy of his that he's put up yards for, right? He's been here in these situations before. Even a Julio Jones, man, just to throw his name out there one or two times. Like, he's had wide receivers that he's made second contract guys. Corey and AJ, from the time that he started calling plays, got second deals. I mean, AJ's was in Philly, but he was the one to help facilitate that. And you know what AJ Brown used to do? Catch that ball, slant to the house. Is George capable of that to you, DK? Yes.
He showed, and I think in those final four games, whenever he started seeing the ball frequently and when he started getting good passes, you saw that he could make something happen out of them. I didn't know he had that in him. That was great to see that final month.
He's having a competent play caller, too, at the time, too, DK.
Then there's also that.
There's also that. But here's the thing. I know. We're done with that one. He's still collecting checks, man. With that being said, though, the one thing that I will hope we all see is a rhythm of play calling. Other than those last four games, the rhythm of the offense was just lacking.
It didn't exist.
And the understanding of when and where you're going to either pass the ball or when you're going to run and who you're going to do those things against. I feel like sometimes, and nobody ever talks about this, you can put offensive linemen in a bad place by just saying, hey, go run the ball. No, as much as you scheme on not trying to throw interceptions and make plays offensively for an offense in almost any level, the same has to go for the run game too. You can't fight City Hall. But I will say this, you can fight City Hall when you got a blocking tight end like Darnell. And that's where I see the Connor Hayward conversation came up too. Is he a tight end? Is he a fullback in this offense? Both. Arthur Smith offense do carry fullbacks.
If he's smart, his answer to that question is yes.
Yeah. So my thing
Which
is there.
One do you need?
I know. And he can do both. And he's a mixed match against especially linebackers. Oh my goodness. Here's the thing. Other than wide receivers, and they can address that in this year's draft. Right? They can.
Mm-hmm.
When it really boils and center, when it really boils down to it, there are weapons in Pittsburgh. Say what you want to about Dan. Say what you want to about the line. Say what you want to about what guys haven't done. A lot of people will salivate over the idea that you get an opportunity to work with this young, talented group. Two running backs. You have one wide receiver that you trust. I know Quez Watkins is there. Kadarius Patterson was a weapon that he used in Atlanta also. But you have, I'm talking about a decent, I don't say super strong, DK, a decent core group offensively that simply have to be watered and set in the sun to grow. They have to figure that out this year. And it's even more crucial with a veteran guy like Russ. Why not do it with him when he's more than capable of doing that?
Right
with
there. A young
group? Yes.
Ask him. You know, you're going to have your own concepts. You're going to have your own ideas. You have to. That's why you pay the man, the coordinator.
That's why you pay him.
But you also got to talk with him. And to an extent, you have to have Justin Fields involved in that as well. I really believe that.
You think he's going to have a nice role this year too, Fields?
All I know is that when it came up with Mike Tomlin, that was part of his answer, you know, wait and see. Okay, like he was licking his lips and he had that, you know, that big evil smile that he has once in a while. Okay, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's the one. Ben Dyke says, hey, Moan, of the top tier tackles, everything that I see points to one of Amarius Mims, a couple other guys being available at 20. What do you see, Moan, as the strengths and weaknesses of who you would choose out of those tackles? Because let's be blunt here. It's going to be hard for anybody pass through that first round without taking tackles, isn't it? I mean, even if you don't need them, you're just it's gonna be like window shopping. Here you go, I gotta leave this guy here.
Yes.
Oh no.
So here's the unique thing about these guys. All three of these guys are right tackles. So give me a second on this. And Ben Dyke's great question. I can tell you one of those draft people like me, okay?
Yeah.
So my crush is Amarius Mims. I won't front. It is. His deficiency is, I think, like 8 games in 2 years. Lack of playing time, injury. He had the tightrope surgery on his ankle. Physical specimen. DK, you see him, you say, who created you? That's the type of guy he is. Who created you can move laterally, and he played mostly right tackle. So if we're talking about Broderick going over to the left, you might have a Georgia offensive line, right and left tackle. I can see that happening. Can he slip to 20? Yes, he can. The other one, J.C. Latham, I don't know. I think he's top 15. I just do. Think about him, right tackle too, run focused, run game oriented type of guy too, out of Alabama, big body dude, primarily a right tackle. I think he moves well, not over the top when it comes to his foot, not over the top when it comes to his footwork, but I like the way he plays. He's mean. He gets up to the second level good. He's a wide body. He is a NFL right tackle. I would not attempt to move him over to the left side. As Amarius Mims is concerned, I think he can play right or left. The issue is he hadn't played a ton. And you're going to have a veteran quarterback like Russ that you don't want his head on the swivel. And then you got Tyler Guyton was the last one. Tyler Guyton's a former tight end, turn tackle, I think out of Oklahoma, big body, long body dude. I still think he can be a projected first rounder with a whole lot of work to be said and done with him too. I think he's raw. I saw him try to move over to the left side, not as fluid as the other guys I saw at the Senior Bowl, but he can play long, athlete. If you're asking me, I go J.C. Latham, Amarius Mims, and then Tyler Guyton. The one I like the most is Amarius Mims. The one that's ready-made to start in the NFL, maybe J.C. Latham for the Steelers as it pertains to that. And I'd also say this too. When you look at those guys that said a really great value and you got an opportunity to build a line for years, man, until it comes down to their contracts.
And remember, of course, that a center is also needed. So we could have offensive line conversations here.
Everybody just wants Zach Frage. He's probably a PA kid that asked that question.
Joey says, what level of priority would the Steelers have on the defensive line in this draft? What's the earliest you think we take someone? I can jump on that one, Moan.
Go ahead.
They won't. There's not that player in this class. You certainly wouldn't be looking at him at 20 overall. And for me, this is just me, when I get to the second round, I'm either taking that center who falls, and there are all kinds of projections that have the centers falling, okay? I know we are all Jackson Powers Johnson and everything. You mentioned Zach Frazier.
Yeah.
A lot of mocks have those kids in the second round.
Okay? Yeah, I can see that.
So it's either going to be one of them or it's going to be the wide receiver. I'm not doing a defensive line choice in a class that almost everybody agrees doesn't have that.
It doesn't.
Don't force it is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. Braden Fisk is a guy that jumps out. Texas got another D tackle. Then it's Devondre Sweat. Michigan has a guy or two, man. Again, it's not that strong. I think next year's year is the year for defensive lineman D tackle.
Yeah, well, the odds of getting Jackson Powers Johnson – to me, are more a matter of how things line up and how things fall. To me, if he were to fall to the 20th position of the second round, he's a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Okay. Oh. I think that's something that they would welcome. That said, you know, how do you control that? How do you sit there and plan for it and expect it? You don't. And that's kind of why when we have that press conference every year with Omar and Mike Tomlin, and they just sit there and they just smile and say, we're just going to see what happens. And the rest of us are all like, nah, man, we're doing mocks. We got to know. You must know. You've got a secret there. they actually, while they're sitting there, they don't know because they can't know.
Yeah, and the other thing is this, though, too. Looking at the offense, because you asked us what it would look like, what's more of a priority to y'all, a center or wide receiver at this point, too? I almost think this group, this offense, need more wide receiver help than almost anything else. And it's a deep class with them, too. It could be a run. And, of course, if we get five quarterbacks in the first round, I think there's at least four.
That's so key. You called you that last year, back. Too. You I'm were counting. You. Yeah, you were counting. Explain what that means to people, because you brought that up last year, too, and you ended up nailing it.
But because I think this, when it comes down to the NFL and how you keep contracts and salary caps down, is to go young quarterback. If you find a stud, you love him and you don't let him go. Like we got a quarterback now on our team that's cut because of his fifth year option, right? And everybody's looking for that new cheap guy. Minnesota, Denver. When you look Chicago, at Chicago, Washington, like there are five teams looking. That need quarterback, including the Raiders. They need it. So if that goes, if they move up in the top 12, then that means more talent is being pushed back. I think there's offensive linemen you can find. I think there's wide receivers that are heavy in this draft class too that you can find. There's two drafts. There's everybody else's, and then there's the quarterback. The quarterback dictates everything. And not on top of that, Michael Penix Jr. may end up going first or either second. Is it the four R, okay, that are specific in this one. The four R for this year's draft will be, of course, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Bonafide, Jaden Daniels, Bonafide, J.J. McCarthy is four. Now, the fifth one is between Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. That's five spots that you have left to say
those are significant names in this class. And those aren't nobodies, both of them.
Even first or second round for those dudes. There will be quality there. Yes. Patriots need a quarterback, too. I just saw Robert say that.
So if they do that, that's obviously a position the Steelers would not be taking. We've had, you know, the discussion here about whether or not you would bring in a draft pick. You'd have somebody that would be lined up as kind of the future quarterback. And I got to say this. How old is Justin Fields?
Is he 25?
24. No, I think he's 24. Okay. Wow. Now, Justin Fields, at the time that he was drafted.
Just turned 25.
Okay. At the time that he was drafted, which was not very bleeping long ago,
mm-hmm.
out of Ohio State, he had people on fire over his potential. Okay? He had your head coach on fire over his potential. Before there was a, you know, we'll see how this goes with the next, you know, the next employer or whatever. This has got to be remembered that this is still someone who's young and has a future in this league. This isn't like bringing Mitch Trubisky over from Buffalo. Okay. This is, and it's also, and I say this respectfully, it's not like bringing Dwayne Haskins over from Washington. When Haskins came over, he was, you know, he'd had some rough times over there, and it was pretty well known what he was, and he didn't have that. I think we could, I mean, had obviously the unbelievable arm strength. Okay. But if I'm comparing his potential at that time to Fields now, Fields has that mobility. He has that freakish ability to bounce all over the field and to throw a defense off. That's not about to go away, Moan.
We also got to get context when we talk about guys being successful or not, right, 2DK? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I can tell you some guys that probably would have been better had this not happened for them on the Steelers, or that coach not have coached them on the Steelers, or this was a bad year. Like, talk about how many guys said their careers was probably ended because of the lockout year. Remember, you know what I'm saying?
So no, here's Crystal, Crystal just blew up the show. I'm sorry, Moan. I got to cut. We have an emergency situation here. She came up with a line here that says that Dan Moore is IKEA furniture. He's not the best, but useful. Damn, Crystal. I will never get her mad.
That's crazy. Also, you can't take Rome Odunze for the 20th pick. He will be going in the top 10, in my opinion.
As long as he comes with one of those little uniform IKEA tools, you know, that they always put in the box.
Silly.
I'm sorry, Moan.
No. You know Dan's my guy. No, but it is what it is. By the way, his player performance check he just got, or they released the numbers for it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, well, it's based on the pay you get plus the amount of reps that you play during the season too.
Crystal crazy. Has body bagged Mr. Moore.
Did. That's crazy, Crystal.
Wow.
Right. Everybody know you deal with IKEA furniture, but as soon as you get enough bread to put a down payment on something else, you do.
See, it depends though. We could have a whole conversation about this. If you get the right IKEA stuff and you know how to cover, you know, like the little holes that are exposed.
Hey, you putting lipstick on a pig, man. Stop that.
But you are. If you fill in those little white holes in all the furniture,
yeah,
you know, like not that I know the names of these things, but like the Lack table and the and the Bjorn Borg shelving and whatever.
Yeah.
Wow, this show just flew totally off the tracks.
You did.
Thanks, Crystal. Look what you did.
IKEA furniture. Golly, that's a cold word right there. Still got those Swedish meatballs. I've had the Swedish meatballs. I'm gonna be real with you.
No, but they're not supposed to be like Italian meatballs. You have to have them with the lingonberries, the jelly.
Nah,
do you not have them with the jelly?
I'm pretty sure I did, but the gray-looking brown gravy and then the meatball, I'm like, stop.
I'll tell you what, Moan. 1/4 of the Penguins roster would be consider these to be fighting words right now. They've got a lot of Erik Karlsson, Rickard Rakell, Marcus Pettersson. They're all coming at you with, like, Swedish chef hats and spatulas. Right
I'll
now.
Take it, DK. Hey, are they winning more games? That's the one thing they need to be coming at me
for. No, it hasn't gone well for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no one you know says, DK, tell us that your furniture is IKEA. I'll tell you that it has been over the years, wise guy.
Yeah.
But hey, there are ways to make it good.
It is. By the way, shout out to IKEA, too, for not making you get a membership to come in and shop at their place.
Yeah, I don't want any
other big box stores. Yeah. You got to get a membership for them.
I mean, I walk into Sam's Club or whatever because I got to, like, I'm across the street getting a Starbucks or whatever. I have to come back to find her in there. And they're like, do you have a card? No, man, I don't have a card. I just want to come in and find my wife. Well, you need a card. I need a card to find my wife in your store? Get out of here. Box
that you've invaded our city and make all the money in? Oh, man.
Yeah, what's that all about? Do you have a card? Idea. To be in my city? Show me your card.
I got a card to him. I'm going to be real. You can borrow mine. I can screenshot it for you.
Yeah, I hear that. Let's see if we can pull this off. Crystal really, really blew this.
She did.
You can't put that up on a screen and not expect it.
The fact that that railroaded you right there, DK. That threw you off the rails.
Interrupt the program here. Steven wants to know, is there a big difference between Joey Porter Jr.? Oh, I'm sorry, not Joey Porter. JPJ around here is Joey Porter Jr., Jackson Powers Johnson, and Van Pran as far as centers go.
I think size and his efficiency at center, too. I think you're picking one versus the other in a sense. Van Pran is very athletic, can move, get in space, very smart. I think you get more power out of Jackson Powers Johnson and more brute, more role grader style of play from him. I think Van Pran is not like him at all, but you're going to get Pouncey-like. And with Jackson Powers Johnson, you're going to get Bruiser. Creed Humphreys is what I'm thinking. That's what you're going to get.
Brian says, solidify the offensive line in the first two rounds. Get a wide receiver in the third. Very deep class. The O-line is essential in the run-first offense. I don't want two children added to the offensive line. I'm sorry. You're
asking a lot for a veteran quarterback. Yeah. Think about Aaron Rodgers. Think about Peyton Manning. They always went and got veteran dudes to come and protect them. I'm sorry. There's a reason for that. But
it's not a video game.
It's not. I like the idea of one. And then going to go to wide receiver or flip-flop or however you got to. But they've been bringing in corners. I've seen wide receivers come in. I've seen tackles come in as far as these 30 visits go. So, yeah.
The barber stops by with 5 memberships. Paulie comes in with 10. And then Paulie said, yeah, you know what? 10's not enough. So he came in with another 10. And our friend Rochelle, who's basically, she's just going to become now our life sponsor as opposed to just the show.
That's what I'm talking about. 50. Rochelle, Ramon Foster Show brought by Rochelle and IKEA Furniture.
Not anymore, apparently. There's a word for that tool somebody set up there. Yeah. It was called, I lost it. There's a word for that little IKEA tool.
Is it really?
I mean, see, I just thought it was the
I'm IKEA not familiar tool. With IKEA like that. I've just gone into one in Pittsburgh and Robinson Township.
Mm-hmm.
And only a couple times. Like, that's about it.
See, a quarter of the Penguins go to that IKEA in Robinson, too. They just go right to the second floor and have the meatballs and stuff and leave. It's as close as they come to Sweden around here.
Is that
Jonathan
is?
Says, hey, Moan, might the new kickoff rules, this is interesting, change the special team skills / guys deep on the roster. And right before we went on, the Steelers made official the not one, but 2-year contract that they've signed with Cordarrelle Patterson. You would think he would be Exhibit A in the National Football League for whether or not this requires a new skill set, right?
It will be, but it ain't just that. It's Danny Smith. Danny Smith's got to be in his office right now salivating because you know what you can do with this new kickoff?
Shaking, one of the two.
You know what you can do with it? You can pin and pull.
What?
You can set up, you can pull a guard, like pull a return man. You can set them up with so many different ways. Like, they've taken the impact out of it, but the idea that you're going to run a toss basically around the corner, pull guys, the clean guys up type of blocks, DK, go look at the USFL and the XFL stuff like that.
I haven't seen this pattern,
So to me, it has to be a quick twitch. I think you will probably see more bigger body guys that are one step one cut, get your foot in the ground and get upfield because it's going to happen so fast. You will probably see an offensive play more than a kickoff return and this new kickoff ruling, DK. It's going to be fascinating. And what type of guys do you have to have? The returner, one cut and go. Everybody else, you got to have a mindset of being a blocker, like a real-life blocker, because it's going to be so quick, so fast, and it's got to be a lot of strategizing in this one.
Do you put a lineman out there?
Will you? It depends on what you're trying to set up. You could do it now. It's within 10 yards.
Well, that would get more linemen employed.
It would, but I think
that gives you more linemen would get helmets, is what I really meant to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you only got to block for 10 yards. It's not like they got to peel back, run up the field, and find a guy anymore.
Do this. Right.
What do coaches tell you on all? Put a hand on somebody, right? Put a hand on somebody. For little small dudes that are going on the kickoff coverage team, the kickoff team. If you just fling them out of the way, you got a gap, especially if you got two big dudes up the middle that can split the pocket. Oh, my gosh. I'm glad for this rule, too, because the kickoff has gotten so much so, DK, into kicking off and seeing a return man go two arms wide. Oh, the play is over. Now we can go get beer and stuff like that from the concession. Now you may actually be entertained by kickoff return. It is going to be fascinating.
I mean, anytime you add a wrinkle like that, my first thought with these kickoffs and everything else is like, okay, like everybody else is saying, A, let's make sure that the players are safe. Okay. I trust Danny Smith when he told me this was last summer that he felt that special teams are being unfairly maligned and targeted for concussion issues. He said the numbers don't bear that out, but he also knows that perception is hard to change. So let's go ahead and change it. But hey, you know what else? Let's have action.
Yeah.
And let's be honest here. When there's a kickoff right now in football, that's a good time to get up.
Yeah.
You know, to go to the kitchen and grab another drink or something. You don't have to watch the play.
Once the ball go through the field goal, right?
Well, even uprights, before.
You go to the restroom real quick.
Yep. Yeah, you're presuming that ball is not getting returned.
Exactly, man.
And that's not interesting. It's called the Allen wrench, by the way.
The Allen wrench. Oh yeah. I know what that is.
See, then we all have to. All men have to pretend to be handy. Are you handy?
Somewhat.
You know who's handy in this household?
Your wife is. Oh, darling.
She builds like crazy.
Yeah.
She just cannot stop building. It's like her thing.
So you are big time IKEA dudes, family.
That'll be quite enough out of you.
Love it. Brian comes in with a good one, DK. You see that one? I thought it was pretty solid. We're going to save it for afterwards.
No. Go ahead. Put it up.
Brian puts up with the contribution. Can we use Cordarrelle Patterson in a Deebo Samuel role? Other than the age, and I'm not sure what his speed is like, and I will always sprinkle this in real quick too. AFC North ball with a guy like him, seeing how he's going to play when you know he's on the field for a specific reason. See how he adjusts to it. But my initial answer is yes. Considering what his health, speed, and availability is, I can see that being the case.
And trust, and trust, he did it. Trust, and trust.
He did it in Atlanta. This dude made, I think, all pro or pro bowl at a multiple position spot. That's basically utility.
And that is what this, any coordinator, any coach who comes in from another environment is always going to feel like, you know what? I'm looking at the film. I see this, but I don't know. I don't know if that person's going to give me their all until I'm around them every day. Do you know what I'm saying, Moan?
Right.
Am I wrong here? You're the one who lived this.
No, absolutely not. And check that. He did not make all pro bowl in Atlanta. He was just utilized in multiple different positions. They have him listed as a running back in Atlanta. And he has 600 and almost 700 yards. And last year was 181. But to your point, his ability to catch the ball and run the ball, his first year in Atlanta under Arthur Smith, he also had over 500 yards receiving. So he's capable of playing that role. He's also 74 football years.
Grow up, people.
You guys are killing us today. You're the entertainment.
I love it, man.
I'm not trying to get IKEA to sponsor the show.
I mean, I'll take a big brand, DK, if they're going to let us keep our content.
Well, we would take a smorgasbord of advertisers. But they first have to talk to Rochelle.
They definitely got to talk to Rochelle. You are in on negotiating.
Yeah, there's Patterson hasn't been in on too many snaps here. Pete says because of special teams, because he's needed to exert himself on special teams here. So he hasn't also, to the point about 74 years old, he hasn't taken as many hits as a full-time receiver would go here. Mike Jones is right. He's more to talk about Swedish meatballs here. The more, you know, I'm going to end up on the Parkway West here within about an hour.
Snack time soon over here, DK.
You know, Rochelle sounds amenable, though, to the IKEA sponsorship, the co-sponsorship.
She loves it, man. I'm here for it, though, DK.
DeMond wants to know when we're going to have her on a show.
Does Rochelle want to show her identity, or is she just like the neighbor off of Home Improvement? Remember, you never saw the neighbor off Home Improvement? Yeah.
Yeah, like that. Like that.
We'll just keep your identity hidden because these dudes be trying to hit on you in here, Rochelle.
Yeah. She's got people, though, to deal with this, though, as you can tell.
She does. I have my people call your people. Somehow I believe that, too. I believe that.
No thanks, she says, to being on the show. Actually, we are going to get her on the show someday because when she comes into the shop, we're going to have a special emergency edition of the Ramon Foster.
Call me, please, DK.
What do you have going on, Moan, in life? What do you have going on?
Baseball tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
That's like that.
That's it. Actually, my people at PFF are trying to get me to come on their podcast sometime soon, too.
They're your people now?
I told them.
I've been charging them up,
DK, to get former players on there to talk about offensive line.
And you would be the first to come on?
Sam Palazzolo. Definitely. And
I'm pretty sure that dude's got me blocked on social media.
Steve Palazzolo. Sam Moss. Sam Moss is the one you're probably talking about.
I couldn't care less that he blocked me, incidentally.
I know. You know the correct way to say that is I could care less?
No.
Because if you couldn't care less...
No, I think it's the other way around.
I could care less. No, I couldn't.
I could not.
So I've been saying it right for so long. I could care less. No, you could care less.
No, I could not conceivably. If you put the word conceivably in there, it makes sense. I could not conceivably care less than I currently do.
Yeah. So people mostly say I could care less.
Yeah. Well, they mostly say it that way. And that's the one that's,
So I've been saying it right as of late. Yeah. There we go. They call him a traitor and everything now, DK. That's crazy.
Oh, here. And this is what everybody thinks about this subject.
I couldn't care less.
Here. Oh, Jake comes up with a nice middle ground here. My care level is zero.
Way to go, Jake. You say you changed your profile picture too because you was burying the lead on your allegiance to Kenny, Jake. You remember you said that?
Yeah, so he left it blank. It's like a protest avatar.
Oh, come on, Jake. The PEF. I don't know if I'm going to give them credibility. But I think nobody understands offensive line play. And we get wrongly judged and boxed in, i.e. Kevin Dotson, Dan Moore.
So good.
Okay,
you
Dotson.
Can stop with Dotson. Dotson is
I'll
just
stop with Dotson.
Perfect example.
Or
he did what he was told to do.
Yeah.
But what his strength was as an offensive lineman was something that they elected not to utilize.
He flipped it. So much so he's one of the highest paid guards in the league, man. Again, congratulations to him. But I also think that that should be a warning sign to a lot of people, too, when it comes down to fits. Like, say what you want to about a system, right, DK? A system. He's a system quarterback. It has to work for you.
Dwight Jefferson says, Moan, you should almost go on the show to match their pass rush win rate.
I should.
Almost. You know, say, guys, almost. I was almost there. I almost got to the – and I understand this is where you give full credit for that, right? This place? Okay, yeah, okay, cool.
I want to ask him about it, too. I legitimately am going to ask him about it.
Just say I almost didn't come onto the show.
Break it down.
Oh, my God, it'd be fantastic.
Why is it important? Why is almost winning important?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tell it to the 11-year offensive lineman.
And let me tell you, yeah, you get me. You completely win
right. All right, guys, we'll be right back after this very brief outro, if I can find it. Here it is.
Let's do it.
Bobby Knuckles Burner is advocating for pay-per-view on this. Moan versus PFF is pay-per-view worthy. I'll tell you what, Moan versus PFF out in Latrobe was pay-per-view worthy.
Even better.
Everybody benefited from that.
And somehow we're still okay with one another, I guess.
That happens, though, doesn't it?
Well, you can be honest with people and let them know, hey, you're flawed in this approach, man. Yeah. That's okay to do that. Absolutely.
Yeah. If only, just to clear the record here, if only you had yelled out, hey, you people are flawed in your approach, as opposed to what you actually said.
Hey, I can't. This is a family network here, okay, DK? We can't say what I said. I'll tell you
y'all,
what, my
y'all grades suck.
My grades changed after that. Again,
y'all grades suck. It was technically three words echoing across the rolling hills of the Laurel Highlands. Y'all grades suck.
You know what sucks about that, Don? I know we got to close this out real soon. What sucks about that, DK, is we just become a gray blank space for the majority of people that evaluate offensive line. We do. Until you either get noticed, and this is one thing that gets players, Pro Bowls and all pros, get noticed in space or be a first-round draft pick or have a moment, right? Like, it's one of the three have to happen. Like, be a first-round draft pick or high pick, get noticed in space or have a moment. And you know what happened with PFF after that with me? My grade with them went up. And it's all on the basis of that they noticed.
Certain
you know what I'm saying?
They would not have otherwise known.
I ain't going to say they wouldn't have known, but nobody cares about player right, player left, unless he's a first rounder or if he's a tackle. That's what sucks about that metric. At least that's how it feels to me. You either need to be an in-space guy that gets pulled, and not everybody pulls, a first rounder, or have a moment. That's how you get noticed, man, and that's what sucks. That's why me saying what I said to them was eye-opening. It really was. And then it changed. My grades changed with them. That's what's crazy.
Yeah. You know who else's grades would have changed?
Who?
Bud's. Bud was the king of almost. The king. The undisputed reigning world champion of almost.
But you know what sucks, though? Again, it should have been in place for them for years. But when it came down to the justification of Miles Garrett,
that's all that was
done. That's when it made it more relevant.
That's all it was about.
He's doing so much, but yeah, is he closing?
Yeah. Is he there?
Win right.
Is he there?
That's what sucks.
The boss is out on the road.
Hey!
She doesn't even know. No, she has no idea. She's out on the turnpike. She's out on the turnpike.
She's going
to kill me. Oh, that was she's going to kill me.
She could have been scarfing down a sandwich. No, she's not listening to us.
No, not at all. She's on the phone with somebody. She's taking my son to the airport in Newark to go to Japan for 4 months.
That's big time.
Losing your son for 4 months to the other side of the planet. He's wanted to do it forever. He's furthering his studies as a graphic artist. He's going obviously by himself, and it's like, I can't even wrap my head around it, Moan. Four months in Japan.
Whew. I'll pray for your mind, man.
It's what I'm talking about. I watched him walk out the door here today. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, and you want to be happy? You know, you want to be like,
this is growing up.
Yes, son, way to go. This was your dream. You wanted to go to Japan and whatever else here. And I'm still thinking, you're going to be 4 months on the other side of the planet, and nobody's thinking about me.
selfish father, you.
Yeah. Come on. You'd be that way, too. Somebody sending Miles or RJ 4 months to Japan. Wow. How would you? You're going to tell me you'd be real mature about it?
I can say that because it's not happening right now, but probably not. No, I'll be honest with you.
Be an infant.
But I'm with Damon on that one. I think Japan is a dope spot. I do. I think it's very safe for him to be over there. And it's a great experience. I'm all about if my kids don't play any sports, I'm fine, because I want them to be able to experience life, go see stuff. Most people don't move more than 50 miles outside of where they're born. So seeing different places and culture, I think a lot more people should do that type of stuff, DK. That's awesome. But yeah, I was in
Japan for a week. I was there to cover the Penguins and the Nashville Predators, actually, in 2000. Those two teams went and played two regular season games just outside Tokyo. And I had a different experience there. My first day there was a 7-point-something earthquake, and I was on the 24th floor of the story building.
Okay, yeah, that's a little different.
Absolutely. By the way, you know what that does? Because those buildings are super well constructed.
Yeah.
Anybody who's been to Japan is going to know what this is like. The windows of the hotel squeak. That's how you know that there's an earthquake going on. There's like it goes. So I had no idea. So I go down to the lobby, and I see a couple of the Penguins players down there at the time, and I go. And they say to me, hey, where were you for the earthquake? And I go, what earthquake? Oh, around 2:30. That was the windows kind of squeak and stuff. Like, oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got our guy saying he lived in Japan for 11 years, DK.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably lived through a mess of earthquakes.
That's crazy.
He probably heard that window squeaking thing.
Hmm. Oh, that's the first time comment from him, too. I hadn't seen him on here. He or she.
No, that's a new one.
Yeah, that is a new one. Japan is what got you to speak up right there. Crazy.
That was the one, huh? What was the odds we were going to bring up Japan today?
Your kid, because you're over there reminiscing right now and missing out. It's okay. You can call me if you need to talk it through, DK. Okay? I know you're home alone, and you might cry in a pillow, but I'm here for you.
I actually might. I'll miss him a lot.
See, what's crazy is I joke about this, and I'm going to probably be calling you. It's like, man, how was it the first week without your kids?
Joe asks if I like Japan better than Florida. I like everything better than Florida. I'm really, really glad to be home after 5 days there.
That's fair.
Yeah, John says shifting in the window frame. All right, guys. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. You good tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm good tomorrow.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Peace.
All right.